Hallelujah. Let's go to our Bibles. Time's moving pretty quick here, so I'm going to try to get going. 1 Corinthians, we're in our study of 1 Corinthians. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You know, I said last week I was trying to get to chapter 3, but there's a couple of things that we wanted just to finish up on chapter 2. I purposed in my heart here if I can. I don't know if I can. I don't want to rush things. I know there will be certain things when we get to certain chapters that it will take more than a service. Praise God. Just because of the subject matter. However, if I can, I want to try to get through. I want to try to start covering a chapter of service. When I say that, you can't cover everything, you know. I remember in being a lot of Andrew Womack's meetings and conferences, he'll take, like, for example, he's went through the book of Romans before, and he'll start on a Thursday night and go through Saturday night and try to cover. He don't cover the whole book, but he'll cover about the first eight or nine chapters, which is very bit difficult to do. And there's many things you leave out that you could speak on. But there's certain things that God wants to emphasize at that moment to be a blessing to us and to minister things to us. And like Sean prayed earlier, you know, we're believing God. You're believing with me this morning. Listen, we are desiring, we pray here in our prayer times that the Spirit of God would minister and say things. You know, we're all vessels. We all have this treasure in an earthen vessel. But the treasure in us is not to be hid or to be kept. Jesus said, out of your belly, out of your innermost being, shall flow rivers of living water. God wants to flow through us. This spake he of the Spirit. Well, we receive of the Spirit this morning. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. Praise God for his word. And we're like those in Thessalonica. And even the people in Berea were more noble than those in Thessalonica. But even in Thessalonica, Paul said that the Thessalonians, they received the word. They had such esteem for the word of God. When someone would stand and minister the word of Christ and minister the things of God to them, when they would gather in their homes, they would not receive it as a word of man. They did not receive it as coming from just a man. They believe that God inspired these things to speak to them. And Paul said this, because you esteem it that way, because you see it that way, that is your attitude when you come and gather. He said, that word will work in you mightily or effectually. Praise the Lord. God is so good to us. Amen. Well, chapter 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, or among them that are mature, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now I want to stop here just a minute. We have to connect chapter 1 and chapter 2 together. Because really, in Paul's letters, you'll see him start out, I don't care if it's in the book of Ephesians or Philippians, he'll take the beginning of what he's trying to declare, and that thought pattern will run for a few chapters. Okay? Notice we discussed, and I'm not going to try to get back in it, but he began to make a difference between the wisdom of men and the wisdom of God. And in the first chapter, we found out that Christ is our wisdom. Those of us who believe, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Okay? The 30th verse, if we go chapter and verse, he said, but of him, you're of God, who is made unto us. Jesus is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And we've talked and emphasized, the Spirit of God has wanted me to emphasize to all of us, God's wisdom given to us is the Lord Jesus Christ. And even Paul says he determined not to know anything except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And that's what he preached. He talked about the preaching of the cross. That is the wisdom and the power of God unto us. It behooves us. It is very vital and important that we acknowledge what Jesus did at the cross for us in every circumstance in our life, in every situation. That is our wisdom. That is the wisest thing that you and I can do when you're confronted with something, is to first acknowledge. The psalmist said it like this, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Jesus said, our enemy is nothing but a thief, and his M.O. is to steal, kill, and destroy from us. But Jesus said, I am come that you might have life. In other words, I counter that. God gave the answer in that verse. Jesus came to bring us life. Well, what did he do? He was crucified. There was a great exchange that took place. And the wisdom of God now to us is Jesus crucified. The preaching of the cross, it's the power of God. It's the wisdom of God to us. First and foremost, above any and everything, when you deal with things, because you'll deal with things in this flesh, your eyes and your ears will see and hear things, and he's fixing to talk about it. I stopped off here so I can get into this just in just a moment, that are of this world. And it'll try to influence you. It'll try to bring fear to you. It'll try to control you. But Christ is your wisdom. Jesus has redeemed you. Glory to God. And you need to acknowledge that. Hallelujah. And the thing about it is, I love what it says here. It says right here, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Or in verse 6, he says, we speak the wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world. The Living Bible translation says, this kind of wisdom does not come from here. Another translation said, it's the wisdom that has nothing to do with this world. See, we cannot be conformed to this world. You cannot approach things and respond to things like everybody else does. That's like I said earlier, that their minds is darkened. Their mind is unrenewed. The way they think, the way they look at things. See, we look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We set our affection on things above, not on things on the earth. While we look not at the things that are seen, but the things which are not seen. See, this is a wisdom. This is the heart of God. I'm telling you, this is so wonderful to us, because when we look at these things, this is the wisdom, not of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom of God which was ordained before the world unto our glory. You know, Jesus was a lamb slain before the foundation of this world. It says right here, this is the wisdom that was ordained before the world. Do you know Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4 says, we were chosen in him before the foundation of this world. This is something God had in his heart at the beginning. Our adversary had no clue. It was the wisdom of God that God would bring to humanity and to mankind that would be their answer and that would be their supply forever. Now think about that. This is a big deal. When Paul stood up and said, I've determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I'm not trying to come and preach with enticing words of man's wisdom. I'm not trying to influence people with my education or how eloquent I am. I mean, I've got a translation here that of different translations that Pastor Buzzy, he gave me translations of all these different translations of the scriptures. I thank God for them. I got them in my office, and I brought this one down because I want to read you a couple of translations this morning. The Lord impressed me to read you a few things from it. But there's so many different translations that talk about this. And when you look at different translations, it sort of lets you see the whole side of the mountain. It gives you different thoughts that you can apply to the heart and mindset of God. I'm telling you right now, this is something that was ordained before the world. This is the wisdom of God. Listen, and this wisdom was for all of us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But see, his son was a lamb. He was slain before the foundation of the world. It was the answer. Now, if it's the answer, that's why I said the wisest thing you can do when you're confronted with situations in your life is to acknowledge that you're redeemed from the curse. That you begin to declare and say that you're redeemed and that Christ took your place and Christ bore your sin. And Christ bore your mess up, your mistake, your failure. Jesus bore your regret. Jesus even bore that, I wish I had it to do over if I could only go back and do it again. You know, he even bore that. He took that because those kind of things can rob you, and those are the kind of things that our enemy will use against you in your own mind to condemn you and to keep you from believing for the very best in your life. Oh, hallelujah. This kind of wisdom, I like this translation, it has nothing to do with this world. It has nothing to do with this world. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. See, this is a mystery because the devil didn't know that God was going to bring a supply for mankind and even for the fall of Adam through Jesus. The devil just wanted to beat his brains out and kill him. The spirit of pride that was operating. But see, the devil didn't know that God would even use the means of him killing him as a way and a means of him bearing our sin. Praise the Lord. The heart and the mind of God. Praise God. Hallelujah. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. William's translation said it was once a covered over secret, but is now revealed. The wisdom we have to speak is God's wisdom. Hitherto concealed, this is Bruce's translation, listen to this, but now imparted by revelation. See, this comes by something that is revealed to your heart. Listen, Paul prayed for the church that they would have, that God would grant unto them the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the spirit of revelation, the eyes of their understanding. Not their natural eyes, but the eyes of their understanding. This is what Paul focused on. This is something that it was everything to him. You know, I had the Holy Spirit ask me a question years ago, because Paul even had spoken about how that when he would go to different churches, and even when he would come back around and check on them to see the state that church was in, if there was anything that they could help them with in their faith. Faith meaning that, listen, believing on Jesus and what that means and what that has done, what that imparts, what that imputes, what that causes in your life to believe on him. To believe on his name. The scripture says, for as many as receive him. To them, the person that receives him or believes on him, that's the person who becomes a son of God. There's a power that is imparted from the Father by the Holy Spirit to your life. It's real, guys. It's major. Revelation. Impartation. The Lord asked me, he said, What if Paul was to come to your church? Because Paul said this, he said, the whole world's going to be judged according to my gospel. It's not that Paul is above Jesus, but Jesus gave him a mandate. And Paul himself said, this dispensation, this ministry that was given to me of the Lord himself, was given to make all men see. He said, if any other people, any other man preach any other gospel than what I preached to you, let him be accursed. I've never stood in a pulpit and said that, but Paul did. And through that kind of revelation, the design of the Father, the head of the church, and what he called Paul to go preach and to minister, and all these epistles and things that we are looking at now and reading from, you know, Paul said, follow me. We'll look at this later on. You know, we're still to follow him. We're still to follow Paul. We'll talk more about that later. But the Lord asked me, he said, he spoke a couple things about that. But the main, one of the things I want to emphasize here, he asked me, he said, what if Paul came to your church and sat in your church and listened to what you preached? Would he be pleased? You know, we get mindful of different things. And we have to be careful, you know, that we recognize what really matters and what is really important. That's part of the Philippians prayer where Paul says, I pray that the love of God would abound more and more in all knowledge and in all judgment. That you would approve the things that are excellent, and that you would be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. That's a prayer he prayed for the church. Now, when you talk about approving the things that are excellent, abounding in love more and more in all knowledge and all judgment, you look at different translations of that, and basically what he is saying, that you would be able to recognize, discern, and truly understand what is vital, what is really important. One translation said, what really matters. Well, in context to what we're saying here, this is what Paul was saying. And he was breaking this down. Man, this stuff, you can't get this stuff from the world. You can't get this from anywhere out there. This is the wisdom that comes from God. This is the wisdom that God has revealed to us. It's the wisdom of God. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. And it's imparted by revelation, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. I like Johnson's translation here. He says, none of the earthly authorities knew this wisdom. If they had, they would not have nailed. Listen to this. Are you ready for this? They would not have nailed the source of creation's fulfillment to the cross. They would not have nailed the source of creation's fulfillment. You ever heard people say stuff like this? I'm just not fulfilled. I got to get a plan for my life. I don't like my life. Honey, are you fulfilled? Don't ask me that question. I know what people mean by that. Maybe they're in a position in the natural. Maybe they're at a place they don't like. Maybe they're not in the right. They're not in the perfect will of God. I understand that. But let's go deeper. Let's go to what Paul was saying. I've determined not to know anything among you except Jesus and him crucified. And I want to speak this to you because this is something. This is the wisdom of God in a mystery. This is something that had the princes of this world and Satan himself would have known this, he would not have crucified Jesus. Why? Because this right here, praise God, is the source of creation's fulfillment. What is? Jesus dying on the cross. The great exchange. Jesus taking our place. Jesus redeeming us with his blood. Now can you see how much it means, how important it is for us to acknowledge and to say, I'm redeemed. Jesus bore my sin in his own body on the tree. By his stripes I am healed. Do you see how important that is to acknowledge that? It's vital because this was the source. This means whereby Jesus would come and die and be raised from the dead is the very source for all of your fulfillment in your life. That is Johnson translation. I like Johnson translation. A lot of the translations, I mean, I've got different ones here, but I highlight Johnson's translation. It's a wonderful translation. Praise God. Hallelujah. Wonderful. Man, I could camp out on that. Because when I read that and I read that translation, I'm thinking, Lord, this is it. Everything you did for our fulfillment, everything that would fulfill us completely in life, it only comes through him and our revelation of him and the love that he demonstrated and the love that he is. That's why Jesus stood before that woman at that well and he said, if you knew the gift of God who stood before you. See, it has to be imparted. Your eyes happen to be open to these things. He said, if you knew the gift of God who stood before you, you would ask of me, and I would give you some water that you would never thirst again. Why? Because he, the Lord himself, is the very source of all of creation's fulfillment. And what Paul was saying here, get your eyes on this. Listen, another way to say it is this, and we'll see this later. When the Bible says Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone and everything is built upon that cornerstone, I think I mentioned this either last Sunday or one of the Wednesday night services. My dad and them worked, my uncle, they run Mason crews in Florida. The crew that they run was about 70 men. My daddy laid block down in Central Florida back in the 50s and late 50s and 60s. Everything was cinder block. I mean, you just laid block. All the houses, they built a part of Winter Haven Hospital, where the town we were in. I never saw them when I went out on the job and they were laying block in a basement. Now they pour concrete walls, but everything back then was block. I never saw them start in the middle of a wall. Like, we got a wall right here, let's go start and lay the first block right here. They always started at the corner. Always. Jesus is the chief cornerstone. For purposes of what we're saying here, this is your cornerstone. This is the footing. This is where it begins. Everything else is based upon this and built upon this. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Christ has redeemed us. Amen. Glory to God. I mean, it is so important. It is so important we acknowledge that. Hallelujah. Praise God. And it says here in verse 9, but as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. I like what Wade translation. Wade, you'll like this because this is Wade translation. Praise God. He said, realities. These are realities which I have not seen nor ear heard. This other translation says, has not entered into the heart of natural man. Natural man. Natural man is just, it's not spiritual man, it's natural man. Praise God. Hallelujah. These things are not discoverable by man's natural faculties or powers. Listen, if you let things around you influence you, influence your thinking and your mind, it'll rob from you. It'll bring fear to you. But if you'll purpose to know Jesus Christ and him crucified and the knowledge acknowledge him and acknowledge every good thing that's in you of Him. What's been given to you by Him and through Him. See, that's the wisdom of God for you. That's the power of God unto you. That is your answer. That will bring the fulfillment to your life that you desire. Because the things that you desire and the things that you pray about that you do have in your heart and that you desire to see and have and want things to be fulfilled in your life, the source of it and the basis of it is Jesus providing it for you at the cross. You become rich and you become supplied because He became poor. That's the cornerstone. You receive healing and strength because by His stripes, by His bruise, you were healed. That's what it's by. When you see scriptures in the New Testament, it says through Him, by Him. That's what it's through. That's the means. There is no other means. That is the cornerstone. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Johnson translation. While we cannot explore this mystery by our own intellect, God has unveiled it by His Spirit. The Spirit penetrates everything, even the secrets hidden deep in the mind of God. I'm telling you, God has unveiled these things to us. The Spirit has brought this to us. Because down here in verse 9, let's read. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed Him unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that, or so that, we might know the things which are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual, you know, I'll stop right here. That'll answer a lot of things when you talk with people. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. I like, it says here in the 11th verse, what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him, and even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. One translation says, so only God's Spirit can make clear the things of God. It takes the Holy Spirit. It takes the anointing. It takes the Holy Ghost to reveal things to you and me. Because I'm going to tell you something. You get in, you try to reason. People try to reason out God. They try to know God in their mind. No, your mind has to get renewed. But the Holy Spirit in you is what reveals things to you and bears witness with you that these things are true. And this is of faith. It is faith that pleases God, that believes that He is. And that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Praise God. It's amazing. Because a lot of times people will just talk out of their intellect or out of their mind, which is not renewed. And they're not talking by revelation. Not of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. But we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which proceeds from God. That we, listen to this, that we may understand the favors lavished by God upon us. Now I want to stop right here just a second. Paul preached the cross. And Paul preached redemption through his blood. Because Paul knew by those means and by that method That was God's wisdom before the foundation of the world. But that was the way that God was going to lavishly bestow his favor upon your life. That's why he was going to, through that means and method, that's where he was going to bring your fulfillment in life. Those things which you desire. Everything that would fulfill you and prosper you and bring health to you. And I realize why John wrote that. He wants you to prosper and be in health. Because, you know, those are two biggies. Listen, you can have all the stuff in the world, but if you're sick and diseased in body, you can't enjoy it. Can you? I said, can you? You can have all the money and things and stuff, but you cannot enjoy that if you have to lay in bed. Likewise, you can be robbed in life, you can be healthy, and yet not have the means to be sufficient and be in position to bless and to give, and that robs from you. God, the Holy Spirit, is taking the cross and the revelation of our redemption through his blood and connecting and attaching with it. This is what God did for us so he could lavish his love and his favor upon you and bring fulfillment in your life. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. William's translation says, we've received the Spirit not of the world, but that which is of God. I like this. That we may get an insight into the blessings God has graciously given to us. You know, the Holy Ghost wants to reveal to you the love of Christ. Do you know that's what Paul prayed in the book of Ephesians? He said, listen, I pray that your spirit man would be strengthened by might, by the Holy Spirit, and that Christ would dwell in your hearts by faith, and that you would be rooted and grounded in love, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, and that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above, according to that which we can ask or think. Do what now? No, it's, listen, according to the power that works in us. It's above all that we can ask or think. The Holy Spirit has brought, he wants to impart these things and bring insight. Every time you get into a meeting, every time you hear the gospel of Jesus, every time you go, it doesn't matter where you are, in a home group, a meeting, a church service, a camp meeting, a Bible study, your Bible, own personal Bible study, the Holy Ghost is wanting to bear witness to you and lead you of your sonship and of the love of the Father and the wisdom of God in a mystery. To declare to you how much he wants you blessed. How much he wants to lavish his favor upon you. How much it means to him for you to be fulfilled. But the source of that is Christ and him crucified. He paid the price. He redeemed me. He shed his blood for me. I magnify the blood of Jesus. I thank God I'm redeemed by the blood of Jesus, in whom we have redemption through his blood. You know, redemption is a big word. Christ has been made unto you redemption. That's where all the goodies come from. Hallelujah. Praise God. Verse 13, which things we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Praise the Lord. The abbreviated Bible says it interprets spiritual truths in spiritual words. Whereas the man I like the 14th verse here. I want to move right quick. We'll finish out with this. The 14th verse is, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. Let me tell you something. We could camp out on this scripture for a while. We could spend a whole service on this one scripture. Romans 8:6 says, the carnal mind is death. The spiritual mind is life and peace. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. To be carnally minded is death. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit. One Haman translation says, the unspiritualized soul is non-receptive to the things of the Spirit. You know, your soul is where your will is. It's where you make choices. Will means I will, I won't. It's where your emotions are. Your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions. It's what you choose. It's what you choose to say. It's what you choose not to say. You know, your soul is like a cutoff valve. Like a water spigot. Water's in there running that spigot. You've got everything in you, in the Spirit, in your spirit man. But your soul is like a valve. Do you know that your soul can keep things suppressed in your spirit man? Because that's where your chooser is. The unspiritualized soul is non-receptive. Can't even receive the things of God. Don't see the value of it. Does not see the importance of it. See, religion will try to put spiritual things on you and try to tell you if you don't do this and you don't do that, then God's not pleased with you. God's upset with you. God's mad at you. God won't do this for you. God won't heal you. God won't prosper you. God won't answer your prayers. And see, they're saying God won't. No, that's a lie. And they try to get you to do spiritual things and go to church and all these things because if you don't, God won't and the devil will get you. Well, the truth is, when you have a soul that's unspiritualized, unrenewed, because we don't esteem the value and the importance of the ministry of the word and the impartation that comes and what takes place in our soul, when we make that choice, then we pretty much live like a natural man instead of a spiritual man. And to put another scripture with it, we alienate ourselves from the life of God. God doesn't alienate himself from us. We alienate ourselves from that life and from that source. And then we become non-receptive to things. I'm talking about people do. Praise the Lord. The man who judges things only by the senses rejects the truths communicated by God's Spirit to him. That's Wade translation again. I like that translation, Wade. Me and Wade over here. The man who judges things only by the senses rejects rejects. You know, when people are just going by what they say and hear, they're totally rejecting themselves from receiving from God and the things that God could bring to their life. That's a natural man. That's a natural mindedness. Because they're strictly going by what they see, what their senses tell them. Now, God gave us our five physical senses to help us in this life because we're down here in this earth. But he never meant the five physical senses to dominate and to make decisions that are contrary to what God has said to us specifically. And when I say specifically, I'm talking about the purpose and the mind and the wisdom of God that came through Jesus Christ and him crucified. He came to redeem us from the curse and the effects of the curse. He came to redeem us so that we could have the blessing. To be in a position, a place spiritually only by and through him. But we would be in that place. We would be in that position. And then we need to live unto righteousness, that right position, that standing that we have because of Jesus. And anything else of the senses that try to tell us that that's not so, that's not real. No. No, we walk by faith and not by sight. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. Why? Because the things that are not seen are a reality. They are spirit. They have substance. Even though they're spirit, they have substance. You know, Jesus likened the wind, the spirit like the wind. You can't see it, but it's still substance. It still has an effect. You know, leaves don't blow on a tree if there's no wind. Just because you can't see it with your natural eye, I'm talking about wind. You see the effects of wind, but you don't see wind. You've never seen wind. You've seen the effects of wind. I'm reminded, and I'm going to close out with this. I was reminded, we was in Tucson, Arizona with Joe back a few years back. We went on a little golf trip, Noel and I, and Joe and another pastor from California. And we're out on the golf course, and I looked out in the distance. We all looked in the distance. We thought, well, man, look at them clouds. You know, it's like it's going to rain or something. And but it was way off in the distance. So there weren't any clouds in the sky, but you could see off in the distance. You could see sort of like, what is, you know, what's going on? It didn't dawn on us at the moment. But it didn't take long. And we were confronted with a dust storm. I'm talking about a major dust storm. Those winds were probably 70 mile an hour when it come through. And I'm not exaggerating. And we stayed on the golf course. We were the only people on the golf course. And we were, listen, it was like a movie. It's like what you would see on a movie. I am not exaggerating. It's like a movie. And all of a sudden we saw it and we go, that's not rain. And then we don't us in our lightning and fast mind, that is dust. Do we run? Do we stay? It's too late. Yeah, we went in the men's room for a minute till the dust came through, and then we went back out and the winds were blowing. Listen, I mean the flag sticks on those greens, man, were almost bowing and bending, and we're out there with the golf clubs trying to hit golf balls in it. It was blowing back at us. Listen, you could take a 3-iron or a driver and only hit it about 80 or 100 yards. That's how much the wind was blowing. You know, we couldn't see the wind, but it has some substance to it, I promise you. I mean, you'd have to walk straight. I mean, because it would take you. And I'm sure the guys, the pros in the golf shop going on the GPS, because some of those carts have GPS. Guys, we have a golf cart out there. We have a golf cart out there on hole number 15. You know, who's out there in this? So, no, listen to me. Spiritual things matter. I'm telling you, this is of the Spirit. This is, Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, their spirit and their life. But he spoke to them, and even he said the Holy Spirit will come, even after he left, to take that which is of him and reveal it to us. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit, is to take the things of Jesus and to minister them unto us and to constantly reveal them to our heart. What is that? Christ redeemed me. I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. No human being with the scope of his five senses can understand the far out things that God has put together for his children. You can't let your senses dictate this stuff. You can't let the natural man or the natural side do this. Praise the Lord. But he that is spiritual judges all things. He who is spirit-filled comprehends them. Yet he himself is a mystery to the world. The spiritual man sees all things as they are. What he himself is. Do you see who you are in the Spirit? Do you really know who you are in the Spirit? Let me tell you, you are just a couple of things. Now, man, I want to keep going with this, but we're going to close it out. Let me tell you one of the things you are. This is not something you're going to be. This is something you are. Because Paul says, we are. What does we are mean? We are more than conquerors. You've been made the righteousness of God in Him. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. You've been made to sit together with Jesus in heavenly places. You are the head. You are above and not beneath. Because you've been born again. The man who's been born again is a new creation. You are above now. You are seated above. You are above. You are more than a conqueror. No principality, no power. Death, life, listen, things present, nor anything that'll show up in 3 weeks from now. Well, I wasn't expecting that to happen. You know, 3 weeks ago or a month ago or two months ago it was this way, but now it showed up. You know, that's what Paul called things to come, things present and things to come. Jesus is your cornerstone. Can you see why Paul preached this way? You know why he said it? He said, I preached it this way and I preached the wisdom of God to you, which was Christ and Him crucified, so that your faith would be in the power of God. Christ, the wisdom of God. Christ, the power of God. What do you mean? The preaching of the cross, redeemed by His blood. This was the source from the beginning of creation's fulfillment. Stand to your feet. Praise the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. So, you know, it makes Thanksgiving a lot better. Everything that we enjoy, you know, and then, you know, last week was we celebrated Veterans Day. And even on a lot of the sport events, I like to watch sports. And you'll see athletes and different people come on and they would give their thanks to the men and women who are serving our country and have served. And they would say things like this. You may have heard some of these things and heard other people say likewise. And they would look in the camera and they'd go, you know, we really appreciate all that you've done and all that you do and serving our country to bring us this freedom and allowing us to enjoy what we get to enjoy. You ever heard anything like that? Yes. I heard different people say the same thing. What you have done and what you do for us allows us to enjoy the freedom and allows us to get to be fulfilled and what fulfills us in our life and the things we get to enjoy. What's the source of all that? Jesus. He laid down His life. He gave His life. He said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. But knowing that from Himself that He would say that to us, He also knew that He was going to lay down His life. He knew it was going to be an exchange. He knew that He would shed His blood. Amen? That's our cornerstone. That's our foundation. That's what we build everything else upon. That's what we speak from. That's our response. That's the attitude of our soul. That's the way we think. Glory to God. And you know what? This is my impartation. The Spirit of God revealed these things to us and continue to and expound them to us. And oh yeah, don't think it's strange, the Bible says. Don't think it's strange when you walk in life because we have this understanding, this revelation, that you have some fiery darts or you have things that come against you. He said, don't think it's strange. It's the trying of your faith. What do you mean the trying of your faith? You've believed on Him. And because you've believed on Him, you're in a position now. You are redeemed. You are more than a conqueror. No matter what's present or to come, it doesn't matter. You're redeemed. Declare your redemption. Let the redeemed of the Lord say they're redeemed. Focus everything and put everything back on the obedience of Christ. Take every thought captive and bring it to His obedience, because there's your victory. There's where the fulfillment's coming. That's where you're going to get to see what you want to see. If you try to go any other way, you're sort of leaning to the wisdom of this world now. Christ is your wisdom. Jesus has been made into you wisdom. What do you mean? What He did at the cross through His death, burial, and resurrection. Hold fast. What does Paul say? Hold fast to the confession of your faith without wavering. You're holding fast. It's a sure foundation. It's the answer. Y'all ready to go to chapter 3? Well, we're done with chapter 2. Amen. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for the things that You bring to us by the Holy Ghost. And I know and I trust so fully, Father, that Your Spirit and the wonderful ministry that He has for us to show us Jesus and to show us the love that You are and the love that You've commended to us through Him. This love has been shed abroad in us by the Holy Ghost. And I thank You that in the days ahead, weeks, months, even going into 2019, Lord, this is our foundation. This is our footing. This is our life. We expect all things to be fulfilled that You have prepared and purposed for us, that which eye has not seen nor ear heard. And You have done it all through Jesus. And because of that, all the other things, all the other plans and purposes You have for us individually and collectively, Lord, we thank You because of Jesus and because of His blood. We receive those things in our lives. We thank You for them. We thank You for all that You've done for us. And Lord, we thank You for this week of Thanksgiving that we get to enjoy, because our hearts realize, hallelujah, You so loved us. And You gave Yourself. You were in Jesus, reconciling us to Yourself. You don't impute our trespasses, our sins against us. But You came that we might receive the blessing, that we might have the highest and best, that we might be in health and prosper in all things, that the peace of God would rule and reign, and we'd be led of it. So we give You glory and praise today. In the name of Jesus.